Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We are going to go to your calls in just a few minutes. But first, I want to tell you what happened when I picked up the newspaper this morning. Perhaps I shouldn't be picking up the newspaper in the morning, but I did, and I started reading USA Today, and the headline virtually leapt off the page. The last time Earth was this warm, 125,000 years ago. The alarm, of course, was palpable. The article went on to say that the warmth last year contributed to deadly heat waves in Asia and in the Middle East, to a mega wildfire in Canada, to record low sea ice in the Arctic, and to devastating coral bleaching in the Great Barrier Reef near Australia. Al Gore, of course, is emphatic. Global warming is the single greatest threat facing our planet. By 2015, at the latest, Gore predicted, if you recall back in 2008, our memories seem to be conveniently short, he said the Arctic would likely be completely devoid of all ice. So right now, there should be no ice in the Arctic. And Baptist pastor Oliver Buzz Thomas says that having more than two children in light of global warming, well, it's downright sinful. And it wasn't all that long ago that scientists were predicting that in 2000, kids would grow up without snow. It's now 2016. As this kind of rhetoric continues to boil over, what is a Christian to do? Well, we have to exercise discernment skills. We have to ask the right questions, and we have to ask them in the right order. Our initial question should be, is climate change a reality? And I think the answer is absolutely. We must, however, exercise extreme caution in the extrapolation of trends. I can still remember this. Many of you can't. But I'm old enough to remember this. The first Earth Day, this was back April 22nd, 1970. I was 19 at the time. Later on in the year, I would turn 20. But that was observed amid the looming specter of an ice age. And even 4 years after that, time was pontificating that the telltale signs of this ice age were evident everywhere. But there's another question I think we ought to ask, and that is, if the globe is warming, are humans a significant factor? A quick Google search is sufficient to demonstrate that global warming is far from settled science. The 97% of all scientists' mantra that you hear ad nauseum, ad infinitum, coming from the White House is misleading, to say the least. Not only are they playing fast and loose with the percentages, but they seem to have become masters at what has been well described as mining the subjunctive, cultivating the seed of threat buried in each unrealized instance. Now, one thing we can be certain about, and that is sensationalism, sophistry, and sloppy journalism have done little to advance the ball. All you need to do is think back a few years ago to Al Gore, the same Al Gore, warning of the global catastrophe that would happen, guaranteed as a direct result of the millennium bug. Not only that, but as Christians, we should carefully consider the cost of having our eyes on the wrong ball. If we participate in promoting global warming political policies involving tens of trillions of dollars, there ought to be convincing evidence that global warming is, as Gore contends, the most pressing problem that faces our planet today. By the way, providing clean water for areas of the world that currently have contaminated water can be accomplished for around $200 billion, just to give you a comparison. And I think it's a genuine tragedy that while Christian leaders are hyping Y2K in America, and that wasn't all that long ago, think 1999, there were millions of God's children dying from malaria in Africa. And malaria is but one of the prevailing planetary problems. I'll tell you what is incontrovertible, and that is Christians are called to be caretakers, stewards of God's creation. Not only are we called to carry out the Great Commission, we are commissioned to carry out the cultural mandate. In other words, as crowning jewels of God's creation, we are to care for the created order. The tragedy is that those who approach catastrophic, human-induced global warming with a healthy dose of skepticism, they're routinely castigated as environmental enemies. It's completely unnecessary. Moral judgments today are being meted out with breathless abandon. And that's on everything from the size of your family to the size of your car. Thinking back to the preacher, the Baptist preacher, Oliver Buzz Thomas. I alluded to him earlier, but he not only calls those who have more than two children sinful but selfish, and his judgmental rhetoric leaves little room for seeing a bigger picture. Think, for example, about the native populations in the EU nations that are swiftly moving in the direction of self-extinction. This is a death wish born out of birth control, out of abortion, out of euthanasia, out of same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and so forth. In nations like Britain and Belgium, well, the native-born culture is dying out, and a rapidly multiplying Muslim culture is filling the vacuum. We're not far behind, if at all. Bottom line, in an age when Christians are all too often characterized as poor, undereducated, and easily led, we should avoid lending credence to the stereotype. Instead, you and I should commit ourselves to care for God's creation with tender hearts, but we ought to have tenacious minds as well. I've written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. You can find the book on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Barry, listening in Federal Way, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Barry.
It's Bear. Hi.
Hi, Barry.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't so too long ago in this 1976, for example, that when I was in school, that they were guaranteeing us we were entering into an ice age.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just talking about. I mean, I was experiencing the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean, where's the glaciers that they're covering the continents? I mean, all genuine science recognizes there's cyclic cycles and weather, warming and cooling trends. I mean, look at Greenland. You look at Greenland's history. You know, that's just one small example. So, I think, you know, you're saying is right on that it's a political manipulation of the people using whatever tools at hand to get what they want.
Well, and the one thing that you can say along with that is that there's no room, it seems, for debate. And that's what ought to be available to all of us, open-minded debate. What the problem today is that we're practicing closed-minded science as opposed to open-minded science. We're not allowing the facts to lead wherever they will, but we have determined what the facts are, and then the narrative has to continue supporting our determination. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sherry. Sherry's listening in Corona, California. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, my question is, the Bible says if you take the mark of the beast and worship his image, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So it does say and, like there's, like you take the mark of the beast and you're deceived, but then you do not worship the beast. Could that be possible?
Well, look, I mean, there are only two kinds of people, ultimately, if you boil it down to brass tacks. There are those who bear the mark of the Lamb and those who bear the mark of the beast. If you bear the mark of the Lamb, then you worship the Lamb. If you bear the mark of the beast, you worship the beast, the world, and the flesh. Those are the options. So if you bear the mark of the Lamb, what is commensurate with that is worshiping the Lamb. That's the very thing that you have been designed to do. So it is inconceivable that you would not worship the Lamb if you are a follower of the Lamb. And remember, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. Just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 that you read about in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, so too the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. And so the forehead and the hands are just Old Testament symbols of what a person's behavior and beliefs are. So we need to interpret Scripture in light of Scripture and not think about this as, well, you know, I'm going to take this silicone microchip, but then I'm going to keep worshiping the Lamb. This is kind of the sophistry and sloppy journalism and sensationalism that I was alluding to in the opening to the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it does say don't be deceived, and so some people might be deceived into taking it. So I'm just wondering if all of a sudden they realize after they take it, if they could change their mind, cut your hand off, and get rid of it.
No. The mark of the beast is not something that can be taken inadvertently. It is the intentional denial. It's the intentional denial in thought and word and deed, as I was mentioning earlier, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And therefore, rather than fearfully avoiding, as many people today are doing, microchip technology and the like, we should with fear and trembling resist the temptation to be conformed to the evil systems of this world. Instead, we must boldly accept the mark of the Lamb, and we do that by offering our bodies as living sacrifices and by being transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12.
Okay.
So you got to examine your paradigm here, as many are wont to say. We often don't think as much about our paradigms, but we think more with our paradigms. So we don't examine our preconceptions.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling, thinking about Exodus chapter 13. I don't know if I've ever quoted that, but in Exodus, we're told that it will serve as a sign to you on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a powerful hand, the Lord brought you out of Egypt. In other words, what you believe, how you behave, mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. And that's why John's reference to the mark of the beast in Revelation is securely tethered to Scripture. The notion of the mark of the beast as a microchip has no biblical basis whatsoever. Again, I've written about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. You know, all this month I've been urging people to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into them. A great way to do that is the Word of God Audio New Testament presented in dramatic audio theater. If you don't have it, it's available for those who support the ministry. I'm addicted to it, quite frankly. It's the best addiction ever. I can't wait to get in the car and listen to more. The Word of God, Audio New Testament, available for those who give all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And we'll be right back with more answers.
Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt." Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version, voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original musical score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the Scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther testified, "I am well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction and all that I need to know for this life and for that which is to come." Luther's wise words ought to prompt us to hit the pause button and become immersed in God's Word. To help you do that, CRI is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized new audio production voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score, along with wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. A quick appeal to those listening in, if you've never considered joining CRI's monthly support team, we invite you to do that. It is the solid foundation of support for this ministry year in, year out. It would be deeply appreciated if you joined the team, standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Also want to mention that you can download CRI's Equip app. And when you do that, you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your smartphone live. You can listen to archived editions. You can read articles from the Christian Research Journal. And you can give in a safe, secure fashion. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ben in Regina, Saskatchewan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
So if I can ask two questions really quickly. The first is, we're about to go meet with a group of Mormons who have been kind of visiting us door to door, and we managed to get them to actually keep coming back. One of the questions that came up was, they were saying, so Psalm 82:6, I have said you are God, you're all sons of the Most High. And these Mormons are using it to justify their theology on the fact that we're all like little gods, that we're going to become eventually like God. And the question I had was actually, what is God meaning by this, and how can I explain the proper meaning through Scripture?
Sure. Well, remember that words and phrases in Scripture are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So there are passages in Scriptures that let us know that Satan is the god of this world, but that does not mean that Satan, who is by nature an angel, has the nature of God. So ontologically, they are distinct beings. Many other examples could be given, but in this particular example, you have God residing in the great assembly, and he gives judgment among the gods. Now, one of the things that you recognize in the context of this passage is that the gods are said to die like mere men. So while it is true in a Christian worldview that we can become by grace what God is by nature, that we can become partakers of the divine nature, participants in the divine nature, we never ontologically become God. In fact, in a Christian worldview, God is ineffable. He is unknowable. Now, he's eminent in his graces and in the person and work of Jesus Christ, but even in eternity, we will never fully comprehend God. And this is distinctly different from the Mormon idea that God was a mere man, and he worked himself up to being a God. And what God has done, at least the storyline, the narrative in Mormonism is, you can do. He became a God, you can become a God. He rules his planet, you can rule your own planet. So this is a distinctly different idea of who God is. So the real issue is not the words used in Psalm 82, but the meaning that Mormons pour into their own concept of God. They've made God in the image of a human being. Now, we never do that. Because even in incarnation, Jesus Christ, though he emptied himself, he's never divested of a single attribute of divinity. So the Mormon concept of God, the Mormon concept of Jesus Christ, is very, very different than the biblical concept. By the way, Mormons say Jesus Christ is the mere spirit brother of Lucifer. We say he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence.
Oh, thanks, Hank. Do you have time for the second question?
Sure.
So it's on listening prayer. And a lot of Christians here have been kind of talking about it as if it was equal to contemplative prayer. And I'm wondering, like, I know other than the New Agey stuff, is there actually anything wrong with if it's just listening prayer, praying and seeing if God responds without emptying your mind, you know, none of the meditation junk or whatever?
Well, we don't have to wonder whether or not God is going to respond. God does respond. In fact, we can have interactive prayer with God. I'm sorry, I'm going on a coughing jag here. Hang on for just one second. Excuse me. I've been struggling with this cold for about 2 weeks, and every now and then I get this tickle in my throat and I can't finish my sentence. Excuse me. So anyway, you were talking about what? Could you repeat?
The idea of... Yeah. Praying and then asking God to respond, and kind of, you know, whether it's simply something like, God, which job should I take? And then waiting, and I know that there's the idea of waiting to see what God says through his word, or waiting to see how God changes events and things like that. But I know something that's often taught in youth groups and in YWAM bases and even in Bible colleges is praying, sitting, and then just saying, as if me and you were conversing right now, waiting for God to respond.
Well, God doesn't always immediately respond, number one. Number two, God responds in practical ways. God responds through people and through circumstances. But the idea of having a dialogue with God is perfectly biblical. We can, in fact, speak to God, commune with God, and recognize that in doing that, supplications pale by comparison, because ultimately a prayer is building a relationship with the lover of our souls. I mean, that's the number one thing we're doing. You think about Jesus Christ, even in his earthly sojourn, he often withdrew to lonely places to pray because he desired fellowship with his Heavenly Father. So we have to think of prayer as more than simply supplication, where we're asking for something and waiting for a response, but communing with the living God, fellowshipping with the living God. We have the living God within. We're animated by the engrafting of the Spirit, the engrafting of Christ, so that we can have a relationship with God. But we shouldn't, because of that communal relationship, suppose that God instantly answers, and therefore we need to sit there and wait for God to, in some way through an impression or through an audible word, answer our prayer. What we find so often, I mean, I've been praying about a certain situation over the last couple of weeks. I won't go into the details, but it was a very significant situation. Should I or should I not? In the most incredible way, God moved through circumstances to give me a very direct answer, and did so in exactly the right timing. So now I know exactly what God's will is in that circumstance. I don't know why, but I do know what. So God moved through people and circumstances to give me a direct answer. I didn't get it right away, had to be patient, but God did move and give me an answer.
Thanks, Hank.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Glenda in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WTRU. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Hank. God bless.
God bless you.
So, thank you. I need your help. So basically, I don't know how to answer to someone who says he's following. What if God created a rock that he can't lift, which would not make him all powerful, but if he couldn't create that rock, he still wouldn't be all powerful? So how do I answer to someone that says
sure.
something?
Yeah, it's a question that at best challenges God's omnipotence, and at worst it undermines his existence. But yeah, there's a problem with the premise of the question. So you have to question the question. While it's true that God can do anything that is consistent with his nature, it's absurd to suggest that he can do everything. Now, the Bible's very, very emphatic about this. God cannot lie. God cannot be tempted. God cannot cease to exist. So you got to question the premise of the question. And then there's another point I think that's equally persuasive in this case, and that is just as it is impossible to make a one-sided triangle, in the same way it's impossible to make a rock too heavy to be moved, what an all-powerful God can create, he obviously can move. Another way of saying that is God can do everything that is logically possible. So there are many questions very, very like this that are asked over and over again. They often catch Christians looking like the deer in the proverbial headlights. But while they're typically asked to undermine the Christian worldview, or the Christian view of God, what we ought to do is turn the tables and learn to question the question rather than assuming that the question is valid. Because in this case, the question certainly is not valid.
Okay.
Make sense to you?
I'll take that and I'll just review the answer again and again until I get it more and more, because it is kind of like, I don't know if it's a bit tricky.
So first you got to question the question, okay? So don't just accept the question as valid, but question the question. And then recognize that God can do anything that is consistent with his nature, but he can't do everything. Remember,
okay.
God cannot lie. He cannot die. He cannot be tempted. Okay? So God can do anything that is consistent with his nature, but he cannot do everything. And the example that I gave is God can't make a four-sided octagon or a one-sided triangle. God can do anything that's logically possible, but he can't do anything, because by definition, you can't make a triangle that is one-sided, because triangles, by definition, are three-sided. So, again, it gets down to questioning the validity of the question itself. And in this case...
Sorry.
You got it?
Yeah, I definitely got it. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's cool. Sometimes it takes repeating. That's how we all learn. That's how I learned. That's how I continue to learn. And there are so many things that I'm learning about. I'm excited to get up every day and learn, but sometimes it takes a lot of repetition to learn. We're going to come back from the station break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember, as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll also come back with the quote of the day. And I want to remind you as we go to break as well that if you have not as yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Be right back with more answers in the quote of the day.
To stand our ground effectively against today's assaults on the Christian worldview, we must, as Hank Hanegraaff says, get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. To help you do that, the Christian Research Institute is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This new magnificently dramatized production is voiced by an all-star cast and features an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. There is a battle for truth raging around us, but the firm foundation upon which Christians stand is God's Word. It is the supreme authority and knowledge base from which our worldview radiates. Become grounded in God's Word through the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. Brilliantly recorded, it is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich new production voiced by internationally renowned actors. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day, again, courtesy of my wife, Kathy. She found this one for me today. And she was thinking about this in light of the inauguration that is going to be taking place tomorrow at noon. This quote comes from George W. Bush, 43rd President of the United States. And it is a quote that she found in Paul Kengor's book. He's a professor of political science at Grove City College, a great presidential historian. And here's the quote by George Bush. "Events aren't moved by blind chance or blind change. Behind all of life and all of history, there's a dedication and purpose. A dedication and purpose set by the hand of a just and a faithful God. We do well to remember those very words. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Billy. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina on WHVN. Hi, Billy.
Hank, thanks for your ministry, buddy.
You're welcome. It's a privilege.
I was wondering what you think about, does God have a clear, distinct, audible voice?
Well, God can manifest a clear, distinct, audible voice, but God is spirit, and so he does not have a body as human beings do. Obviously, in the incarnation, Christ took on physicality, so he's one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. But God by nature is non-physical, but God has spoken many times in such a way that we can hear him. So God has no problem, because he's the creator of all things. He has no problem whatsoever to manifest with an audible voice. So yes, God can manifest with an audible voice, but an audible voice is not part of what we would consider God's nature.
Okay, well, thanks, Hank.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Russ next in West Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Russ.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, and I really appreciate all that you do in your ministry and all the information you bring to us on your show.
Pleasure. Privilege.
I was wondering if maybe you could speak to the issue of Pelagianism and semi-Pelagianism and how that relates to Christianity and maybe some of its detriments or even some of its positives, if you could.
Well, you know, Pelagius was a British monk, and he was a theologian, and he had a particular view that each soul is a separate creation of God, and because of that, those separate souls are not corrupted by Adam's sin. This runs counter, I think, to what Scripture teaches and what the Church has taught throughout history, that all of us, as a result of Adam's sin, have a broken gene, a propensity towards evil. Now, he didn't think grace was necessary in the process, and Christians, in distinction to that, believe that God, through his grace, woos all of humanity. We have to either respond or reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit, but the grace of God is necessary.
Okay. What would be the difference in that then and with semi-Pelagianism then?
Well, a lot of people are called semi-Pelagians because they believe in libertarian freedom or freedom of the will. And I think the term oftentimes is used as a pejorative by those who believe in what's called compatibilistic or circumstantial freedom, the idea that God creates everyone in such a way that they cannot respond to his goodness and grace, and then only rewires or regenerates the elect, and therefore they can respond, the others in continued existence cannot respond, because just as cows can't fly, they don't have ears to hear. Let's go back to the phone lines. And we'll talk next to Melvin. He's listening in Chicago, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Melvin.
Yeah, I was calling about, I heard you talking to a gentleman earlier about the sons of God. I disagree with the Mormons teaching, but I was calling, in Romans, I think it's Romans 8, and it's dealing with the manifestation on the sons of God, and I think what happened over the years, because they talk about the redemption of your body being, from this flesh and blood. And the question that has to be asked, I always ask people, if you're a son of a dog, you're a dog. If you're a son of a horse, you're a horse. If you're a son of a man, you're a man. But why, if you're a son of a God, what are you? You got to be God. I think people just afraid to realize God is recreating himself, but not like the Mormons are talking about. Because if you
Yeah, the bottom line is there will never be four in the Trinity. There'll never be Melvin, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. However, we are brought into the life of the Trinity. We can partake of the life of the Trinity. And I said earlier in the broadcast that we are by grace what God is by nature, but we will never bear the incommunicable attributes of God. We will never be ineffable. We will never be omnipresent. We will never be omniscient. In fact, in eternity, we will learn and grow and develop, albeit without error. Humanity cannot bear the burden of omniscience. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Eric in Casper, Wyoming. Eric's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Hank. I've got a quick question. I'm sure you've had it before. I was listening to the program, and you just answered the question that God cannot do anything that is against his nature. And the Bible teaches us that God is love. So my question to you, is God capable of hatred? You know, you think about the flood where he destroyed everyone because there was just no good people left on earth.
Yeah, and the idea that this is a manifestation of hatred could not be farther from the truth. God does what he does in righteousness, and he does have righteous indignation against sin. And so that is not in any way incongruent with the idea that God is love. In fact, we don't know why God does what he does. We can trust God because what God has manifested about himself demonstrates that he is trustworthy. So we live in a cursed creation, and oftentimes within the context of that creation, God makes a judgment. For example, when the Israelites went into the promised land, they were the acts of judgment against the wickedness of people who were sacrificing their sons and daughters in the fire and many, many other gross and grotesque things. So the Israelites became the acts of God's judgment. Is that an act of hatred? No, it is a just judgment against sin. But you see God's ultimate love in that though we are defiled by sin, he is willing to redeem us. And out of a cursed creation, he is willing to bring the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. And by the way, when the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan, they were warned as well. If you follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations in this land, you're going to be rooted up as well. Why? Because what you're doing is not only an insult to the righteousness of God, but it is detrimental to everyone, period. It's detrimental to the universe and to humanity. And sometimes we can see this even from the perspective of our own laws, where you see people that want to exact capital punishment for someone that does a horrendous crime. They want to see that punishment because they want to see justice. The thing that we do imperfectly, God always does perfectly. God is absolutely perfect in both his justice and his mercy. So a full-orbed concept of God always takes into account a God of infinite mercy and a God of infinite and perfect justice.
Okay. Thank you. I enjoy that answer very much.
You got it. Let me see if I can slip in one more call. Almost out of time. Don in Fulton, Missouri, listening about radio. Hi, Don.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I really appreciate your ministry. I have kind of come out of some of that word of faith stuff because of you. I want to say thank you for that.
Bless you.
Hey, also, my brother-in-law, he's into this some kind of online prophet thing, and this person is teaching this doctrine about how in the end all things are going to be reconciled to God, all men will eventually be reconciled back to God, and that God will put all things right, and people may go to hell for a while, but they'll get out and God will reconcile them to himself. What do you know about it?
Well, it's nonsense, and I don't have much time, so I'll suffice the audience and even my own sensibilities by simply quoting C.S. Lewis, who said, this is a very famous quote, see if I get this right, "I would pay any price to be able to say truthfully all will be saved." But Lewis said, my reason retorts, without their will or with it. If I say without their will, I at once perceive a contradiction. How can the supreme voluntary act of self-surrender be involuntary? And if I say with their will, my reason replies, how? If they won't give in. So what Lewis wisely conceded was there are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. So if there is no hell, there is no choice. Heaven would not be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their wills. Obviously a torment worse than hell. By the way, we get so many wonderful testimonies. Here's one. Thank you for your ministry, brother. You have helped me become a thinker and realize just how important discernment is in a post-Christian culture. Many, many blessings to you and yours. Well, every thanks I get is a thanks to you as well. You make it profitable by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. To help you immerse yourself in the teachings of Scripture, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version, voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
www.thebiblesays.org.